Some of you may notice there's something different, other than the pastor looks younger. There's a little different up here. We had the kids in our, some of the kids in our end zone have been working all summer on a podium. And they've been working on this, and some of the men in our church, and not just men, but some women too, have been helping in that area. And they made this, and it's incredible. They did a fantastic job. And so we are going to use it in here for a few weeks and just let them know how much we appreciate what they're doing. I know we have seen them, you have seen them in here on Sunday mornings. We started the summer off doing something a little bit different, having our kids in here for the first 20 or so minutes of our church service for a couple different reasons. One, it gives those in the end zone some needed help, and so they don't have to try to corral them quite as long. And I think more importantly, it's good for them to be in here, and it's good for you, and I hope you are getting around to them and welcoming them and letting them know that you are glad they're in here. I don't know whether you realize it or not, but that's the future of our church. And a lot of young people are leaving the church. One of the reasons that a lot of young people are leaving the church is they don't feel like the church is for them. They think it's for older people. Well, it's partly our responsibility to show them the church is for them. And so having them in like this and participating in services is good. You know how Satan shows up in the weirdest places, don't you? In the weirdest things. You know, he came this morning about 30 minutes ago in a cup of coffee. And my wife had set a coffee cup down right where I sit on the floor, and I knocked it over. I took the blame for it. I took the blame because I do that. I take the blame for everything. And so... So it had me a little frustrated the first 15, 20 minutes of church this morning. So I'm a little behind, okay, in getting spiritual here. And so I've had to fight back the kind of thing. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there. But I need your help this morning. This is going to be a little different type message. This is going to be more like a Wednesday night message where... we get a lot of involvement or some involvement from you. And so I'm going to ask a question, and I hope you help a little bit. When you think of a friend, what do you think of? Give me a word. When you think of a friend, what word comes to your mind? Wife? Good. Yes. Good. A wife. That should be every man's best friend and every wife's, no, I shouldn't say that. Every husband's best friend, and a husband should be every wife's best friend, right? That should be that way. Okay. All right. Good. I like that. What else? What comes to your mind when you think of friend? I'm sorry, what? Trust, good. A level of trust, good. What else? Companion, okay. Someone to live life with. What else? What? Loyalty, good, good. Huh? Accountability, excellent. Huh? Dependable. Man, you guys are hitting all the points in my message, so we can just say amen and go home, right? Yeah, good try, not falling for it. What about over here? I am interested because this message is a lot to do with them, I think. What is a friend to you? When you think of a friend, so I need at least two or three answers. So what's that? Encouraging, excellent, good. What else? Honest, good. Tough sometimes. But good. What else? Give me one more. I know you're kind of getting the leftovers and you got to think hard here. Friend. Bodyguard. Alex, who's your bodyguard? Okay, all right. I thought maybe you had one that was your bodyguard. But good, excellent. All good things. Today, we're going to talk about friends. In Proverbs, one of the many themes that you find in Proverbs, and we've discussed many of those over the past 2 or 3 months, is friendship. Now, a lot of times when we think of friends, we think of, I know there's some really good answers out here, a lot of times we think of a friend as someone who is emotionally attached to us. And we can share things with them, we can talk to them, we feel comfortable with them. And there is that emotional attachment that we have with certain people. And sometimes it can be a lot of different people that you are emotionally attached to. But friendship, when it comes to the Bible, is a little bit different than what maybe the world would look at as being a friend. And we're gonna talk about that today, about what is a friend. But I think we need to, before we do that, we need to introduce it in the idea that friendships are important. You need to have friends. Todd was teaching in Sunday school today, the last 2 or 3 weeks, about the idea of fellowship and community. And if you know anything about Acts chapter number 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, in the formation of the church, there were certain relationships that were kind of brought about by the church. Of course, we know the main one is that the church is unity and community. Unity in the idea that in Acts, we are told that when this group of people begin to believe in Jesus and the Holy Spirit was given to them, that there was a sense of unity between them, spiritual, financial, emotional, and otherwise, just a sense of unity in the body. And there, by the way, there needs to be unity here. There needs to be community here. And by community, I believe we need to all come together to accomplish what God has for us to do. That is, individually, God wants you to grow, right? Okay, God has placed other people in this body to help you grow. People who have different spiritual gifts than you, different talents than you, different experiences than you, someone that can really be an encouragement and a help to you. Okay, that's what community is, and that's what the church is to do. You're to be a part of this community so that you can grow, so that you can serve, and we can fulfill God's purpose individually and collectively as a church, as a body. Okay, once you get past that, there's really only a couple, maybe three relationships that exist. The next one would be something that I think Tim mentioned, and that is marriage. The marriage relationship. That is an important relationship. That is actually outside of our relationship with God. That is the most important relationship that we have. Is our marriage. Marriage comes before church. Marriage comes before work. It comes before friends. It comes before everything except God. So we've got that relationship. And I'm going to call that in general the family relationship because that would involve the children as well. Developing that relationship inside of the family. All right, the next one that I would say exists within the church is the biblical relationship of a disciple and a discipler. Okay, we have given to us the mandate in Scripture to develop relationships with one another to help us grow in Christ. And that is not necessarily what I'm doing right now. I am not necessarily your discipler here, though I teach, but that relationship is a close relationship, a one-on-one or two-on-two relationship. And so that is another biblical relationship. The last one I believe that we find in Scripture is friendship. Friendship. And that one is, I think, sometimes a very difficult relationship. And so when I look at the book of Proverbs, as I have read through it, I find a lot that's mentioned about friends. And so what I'd like to do is take you to a jumping off point here in Proverbs chapter number 18. We're going to be in Proverbs 18, and then we're going to we're kind of move our way through different things. We need to understand that friendships are messy. Having friends is a messy thing. It's not clean sometimes. It is a sacrifice. Friendship is a sacrifice. To have a true friend will cost you something. It's difficult. Anytime you try to put two people together who are different, it creates some difficulty. I mean, it's hard enough putting a man and a woman together in marriage who are totally different and not have some difficulty. They're there. It's the same way with friendship. It's also very risky. Friendship is risky. Someone mentioned trust. You know, it's risky because you trust someone with the more intimate details of your life. So there's risk involved. And then ultimately, if you have a real friend, there is also going to be hurt involved. Because I don't care who you are, if you've got a biblical friend, and we're going to go through some characteristics of a biblical friend, there is going to be some hurt. You're going to hurt one another. That's just part of living close to other people. But here's what I would say. Because God said it's important, and because God ordained it, that we have to trust God enough to be willing to take the risk and be hurt in order to fulfill God's purpose for our lives. And part of that is having a friend. All right, so Proverbs chapter number 18, we're going to jump off here, and then I want to give you seven characteristics of friendship. So Proverbs 18 and verse number 24 says this, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Let me read that one more time. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you, first of all, for Jesus. Thank you for sending him. Thank you for allowing him to die on the cross. Father, thank you for allowing him to be our friend. And Father, I thank you that you have placed in your word some guidelines, some things that we need to know and understand. And so, Father, help me today to communicate that in a way that we can understand and apply it to our lives. We thank you for friendship. Thank you for the friends you've given me. And help me to make more friends, if that be your will. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, a couple of things I want to point out here. Number one, if you'll notice, this verse 24, I've used this verse many times when I've been talking to people, or a lot of times teenagers. Teenagers will say this, "I have no friends, I have no friends, I have no friends, I have no friends." And I've used this passage at times to say, well, listen, If you're going to have friends, you must be what? Friendly. And I think we've all shared that with maybe somebody that's been without a friend. Our teenagers. Teenagers are difficult times in life. And sometimes we struggle making friends as teenagers. And I'll tell you, let me give you one sure way, teenagers, to make a friend. Just sit and listen to somebody. That'll make a friend right there. I think it was Carnegie that once said, if you want to make a friend, just sit and listen for 10 minutes and you got a friend. And I think that's true. But let me, I hate to burst bubbles, and I will because it was mine was bursted this week. That's not the context of this passage. Okay, I've used this many times for that purpose. That is not the interpretation of this passage. Did I say something wrong? Busted and bursted? What's burst versus bust? You got an English teacher in the family. Not! Satan shows up in the weirdest places, doesn't he? Ha! All right, back to our verse, 18:24, a man that hath friends. All right, here's the thing. You'll notice as we go through these verses, one thing that runs predominantly through them is friend, not friends. Okay, as we go through these verses I'm going to give you, he talks about a friend, not necessarily friends. As you look at this verse, he's contrasting two different mindsets. One, of someone having multiple friends versus someone who has a friend. And when you stop and think about this, he's kind of warning us to be careful about having a whole lot of friends. You know, one thing I remember when Facebook come out, and it's been several years ago, I don't know. It took me a while to get on the bandwagon. I'm still not on the bandwagon, but one of the things, I did get a Facebook account, and it's still there, and I know some of you have asked to be my friend, and listen, I don't take on any new friends on Facebook, I just don't do that, I just don't, because I'm not even on my account. And so, I remember when I first got on, it was like a game. You know what that game was? How many friends can I, and you would see, I've got 1,500, I've got 3,000, and they would send friend requests to every person that popped up because they wanted all of these friends. Okay, a lot of friends are not good. And he says this, he says, to have a lot of friends, you've got to be friendly. Okay, believe it or not, this is not a positive thing, it's a negative thing. Here's what he's saying. In order to have a lot of friends, you have to be doing a lot of things to make a lot of people happy. In other words, if I have a lot of money, guess what? I've got a lot of friends. Or if I'm a comedian and I make people laugh, guess what? I'm going to have a lot of friends. If I've got an outgoing personality, and everybody feels so comfortable around me, I'm going to have a lot of friends. But why? What is the foundation of those friendships? It's what someone can give you. Okay, that's not a true friend. And you say, well, then Pastor, what is a true friend? Let me give you seven characteristics real quick. Number one, friends are people you can count on even when times are difficult. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 17. A friend loveth at what times? All times. Not sometimes, not when things are going good, but a friend loves you all the time. Not just when you're saying things to them that they get, not just when they've got a good job and you're out eating with them and doing this with them all the time. But listen, they're a good friend and they are faithful all the time and not just once in a while. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to, when things get bad, we kind of forsake those things that are really, we thought were important to us. Friends. And I think this is just as true. If I'm going through a difficult time in my life and I'm struggling, if I withdraw myself from Braxton, if he's my friend, and I withdraw myself from him, I'm the guilty person in not sticking with him. You say, well, you know, you got to understand things are bad and you don't have time. And I know, but if he is my true friend, I'm not going to abandon him when times get tough for me. Likewise, I'm not going to abandon him when times get tough for him. Because that's not what friends do. You see, I think if we truly get this, we'll realize that when we look at the people in our life, we really don't have a lot of friends. Not biblical friends. Oh, we've got a lot of friends, but not true friends. I think if a person can have one good friend in this life, I think you're doing good. And I know a lot of people in this life, I know some in this room would probably say they don't have one. Not this kind of friend that we're giving you. All right, number two, friends are not only people you can count on when times get tough, but friends are trustworthy. Wow, that one's a tough one. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 28. He says this, a forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. Notice the last part, a whisperer. Do anybody know what a whisperer is? Say someone that talks like this. Okay, there's a reason they talk like this. Because they don't want everyone else to hear what they're saying to someone else. You know what it's talking about? It's talking about people that share intimate details of someone else's life. You know, if I've got a friend, and let's say Rick is my friend, and Rick comes to me and he says, Pastor, I'm really struggling in some areas of my life, and I, every time I go through downtown Portsmouth, I have a tendency to pull into the bar, and I just want to go in and have a few beers, and I'm struggling with that. And I know you don't. I'm kidding. All right? I'm using him as my example. And he shares that with me. And then I go, hey, Ralph, did you know Rick? You know, just the fact that we've got to whisper says something. If you can't walk into a crowded room and say something out loud, maybe you ought not be saying it. And so I go to Ralph, you know, Rick, he shared something with me, and you're his friend too? And I know he would want you to know this so you can pray for him. He stops at the bars a little too much. Anytime is too much, right? I guess, yeah. So you just need to pray for your brother, Brother Ralph. Pray for him. Pray for him. Because I know he would want you to pray for him about this. So what happens? Down the road, he's sitting down with him over lunch, and he says, how you doing with your little problem? What's that? Well, you know, Pastor told me you got a little drinking problem. How's it going? Oh, he did. He would never come to me and tell me another thing. And can I tell you this? He shouldn't. Because I wouldn't be his friend, and I wouldn't be as good a pastor either. So we need to understand, second thing that we need to be able to do with friends is to trust them. How many, and not asking for hands, how many have been hurt because a friend has not been trustworthy? Many, many. And I know I've heard people say this, well, you don't understand, I've been hurt. I don't want to trust anyone else again. I understand. But here's what I know. God calls me to trust people again. I still, even though sometimes it's hard, I need to be developing new relationships, and part of that is trust. How can you get to know someone if you don't trust them? You've got to be able to do that. All right, number three. Here's a tough one. In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse number 6, he talks about confronting your sin. Friends lovingly confront your sin. Proverbs 27, verse number 6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And they say, well, what? That doesn't even make sense. Your friends wound you? Yes. Yes, your friend will wound you at times. You know how they wound you? Rick, I know you're stopping by the bars on Friday and Saturday nights, but this is not good for you. And God doesn't like that. Let me show you in His Word. And, you know, you really need to stop that. And that's not good for your relationship with Donna. It's not good here at church. I can't let you continue to do things here if you're running into the bars every Friday and Saturday night. What is that? That's a wound. You know why? Wounds hurt. A friend will wound their friend. Again, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I hope I'm kidding. Sometimes I've been prophetic in my preaching, and I've said things, and they're like, how did you know? So, but this is not one of those times, right, Rick? Huh? No, she didn't say a word. She didn't. This is a divine thing if it is, but it's not. I'm using him as an example. He's good. I know he's good. I know Rick. But you know what? Sometimes you need to wound your friend. What wounds? Truth. What does the Bible say about the truth of God's Word? What does it do? Anybody remember in 1 or 2 Timothy? It does what? It what? It'll set you free, but it does something else. It cuts. How deep does it cut? All the way down to the marrow, the middle of the bone. That's what. When I, in the right way, go to Rick and share the truth, it's going to hurt. But he needs that, and I need to do that. That is a friend that will do that. A friend is not someone, Rick. We all struggle. I got my struggles. You got your struggles. You don't mess with mine. I won't mess with yours. So how's that? Teenagers, at things you do. Be careful about your friends that condone all the bad things you do. That's not your friend. That's not your friend. And a good parent doesn't either. All right. Move on. We're not talking about parenting here, are we? All right. Number four, friends make you a better person. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse number 17. Iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. All right. If you've ever sharpened an axe or a knife, there's no way to sharpen a tool, a knife, or an axe, or anything that requires to do some cutting. You cannot sharpen it without some abrasive material to take and put an edge on it. If you've got a grinder, that grinder is, I don't know what it's made out of, but it's really rough. And if you stick your finger on it, it'll chew it up. But what it does, if you lay that on there, the sparks will fly, but it'll sharpen that axe or that knife. It always takes a little bit of friction to sharpen your brother. And what is that? Not everything is smooth. Not everything is easy. Sometimes it's tough. And sometimes friendships have to go through difficult times so that we can sharpen one another. Sometimes it's needed. It makes you a better person. How do we do that? Well, let me give you just a few examples. Number one, ask questions. You got a friend? Ask questions. Get to know them. You know, they talk about different levels of relationships. The first one is, hi, how are you? The second one is, the second level, you start asking questions. Third level is you start, see how quick that was? See that, Mike? I haven't lost a thing. You ask questions, then you start sharing beliefs, then you start sharing struggles. All right, but you have to share. You have to be willing to share. So you ask questions, you explore beliefs, your friends challenge you. Do you have somebody that challenges you in your belief systems, in your attitudes, in your actions, that when they're not right? Are you willing? Do you have someone in your life that you could go to and say, listen, this is something that I believe, this is something that I think, this is something I feel, this is something that I'm doing. What do you think about that? And then when they say, I don't think you're right because the Bible says this, you don't run away from them and disregard them as a friend. You embrace them and you thank them. They challenge you. They hold you accountable. They encourage responsibility. That's what friends do. Number five, friends will forgive one another. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love. Now, at first, this sounds like when it talks about covering, it's talking about hiding it. So a good friend doesn't hide another person's sin. It's not what he's talking about. If you understand the old sacrificial law system, that the top of that box, it was the Holy of Holies inside the box of the Ark of the Covenant, you had these angels that were a covering. It was to cover. That's what an atonement is. It covers sin. It doesn't say it's right. Here's what it does. It forgives it. I'll say, God has provided an atonement, forgiveness for our sin. As a friend, we need to be forgiving to those who we call friends. Why? Because I don't care who you are, you're going to make mistakes. And the closer you are with someone, the more they're going to see of your life and the more imperfections that's going to come out. I mean, it's like marriage. I thought I was a pretty good person until I got married. And then I realized I wasn't a good person. I had a lot of issues. I was very selfish and self-centered, and I wanted my way all the time. How did I know that? My wife told me. She was good about that, and she's still good today to do that very same thing. Hey, you're doing this, you're doing that, you need to stop that. And I appreciate that. And I say that in a kidding way, but it's very truthful. I want her to do that. I don't like it. I don't look forward to those discussions because they hurt. But it's what a friend does. He's willing to hurt. He's willing to hurt. Friends forgive one another. I remember the story. I was thinking about this. And John Mark, if you remember the story of John Mark and the Apostle Paul, Barnabas, Paul, and John Mark went out on a missionary journey. And they went out and started churches, spreading the gospel, preaching, and somewhere along the line, John Mark, he really wasn't ready for this, and he forsook them, he left them, times got difficult, and he walked away, he went home, and I remember the next time they were going out, Barnabas said, hey, we're going to take John Mark, and Paul said, absolutely not. He let us down once, he's not going to let us down again. And I know Paul was very adamant, and Barnabas was very adamant. And so there was, the Bible says, there was so much strife between the two, they could not come to an agreement because of what John Mark had done, that Paul said, you go your way, I'll go mine. And Paul went with Silas. He took Silas, and they went one direction. And Barnabas took John Mark, which was his cousin, I believe, and went another direction. But here's the interesting thing. There had to be a reconciliation somewhere along the line, because in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, getting it to the end of the book and the end of Paul's life, Paul said, hey, send John Mark. He's profitable to me. There had to be some reconciliation there. There had to be some forgiveness extended. And I believe John Mark and Paul were friends as much as they could be, but they were friends. But there had to be some forgiveness there. Number six, friends give you what you need, not just try to make you feel good. Proverbs chapter 25. A lot of these kind of overlap. Proverbs 25 and verse number 20. As he that taketh away a garment in cold weather, and as vinegar upon nitre, so is he that singeth songs to a heavy heart. Okay, let's understand this. He that taketh away a garment in cold weather. What do you need in cold weather? You need a coat. Well, what do you think about the person that takes the coat away? Takes away what is needful. That's what Solomon is telling us here, that there are certain needs, and part of those is the advice and the words that friends share between one another. You don't withhold that which your friend needs. Now, I had to do some studying on the second half of this, and I thought about Mr. Noble when I did. The second part of that verse, he says, in verse 20, he said, and as vinegar upon nitre. You know what nitre is, right? Huh? Jason? Huh? Sodium. It's a sodium, what is it? I had to write it down because I'm not a scientist. Sodium carbonate, I guess. It's internet, so it is what it is. And you know what vinegar does when you pour it on sodium nitrate? Huh? It fizzes. And that's all that it does. It fizzes. Huh? Did I miss something? It cleans your sink. Okay, good. I didn't know that. As much sink cleaning as I've done, I think I would have known that by now. But that's a joke, by the way. Yes, it is, my wife says. But it produces a fizz. There's not a lot of good in a fizz. It just lasts a short period of time. And so what he's saying is, listen, when you tell somebody what they want to hear, you're not giving them what they need. Give them what they need, not what they want to hear. Don't just fizz. Oh, brother, it'll be okay. I know you're struggling, but it'll be just fine. Or listen, sister, it's okay. You'll get another man. It's okay. It's all right. It'll be, God will take it. It's okay. Maybe at some point you need to say, okay, you've went through 35 men in the past year. Maybe we need to talk. Nobody I know has done that. Or a boy that's had 25 girlfriends in 6 months. There might be something wrong. Especially if you're a college student. Might be something wrong. Something definitely wrong. Number 7. Friends are willing to get messy to help you grow. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 5. Proverbs 20, verse number 5. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. This is a cool verse right here. He's talking about the heart of man is a well. It's like a well or the deep sea. It is extremely deep. Man's heart is extremely deep. It goes way down. And sometimes you got to go really deep into a person's heart to find out what's really wrong, what's really there. And he said, counsel in the heart is like deep water. But a man of understanding, a man of understanding, we haven't talked about that in a long time. It's someone that knows God's word and understands God's word. It's someone who is a leader, a spiritual leader, someone that's willing to invest in you. That's who the person of understanding is, will draw it out. In other words, they understand you enough, they understand God's word enough, that they'll go down deep with you to find out what's wrong. And sometimes that's messy. Sometimes it's hard. And a lot of friendships can't handle it. One of my favorite movie quotes, you know what it is. It's A Few Good Men, Jack Nicholson. I every time I watch this movie, I'll watch the whole movie just for this little part right here. And Tom Cruise, he's drilling them. We want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. We want to know the truth. And he looks at him and he points his finger and he says, you can't handle the truth. True friends can handle the truth. They may not like it, but they can handle it. And sometimes the truth is messy, but it needs to be spoken. It needs to be spoken. God has put all of us as human beings, given us a need for people, relationships. In the Garden of Eden, Adam, as God was creating, he created Adam and he looked around one day and, I don't mean to make this sound trivial, God just doesn't look around and realize that there was something missing. God knew that there was something missing because he created things and he created male and female and he put them together and then he looked, he had created Adam and he said, this isn't good. Now, he didn't mean that he made a mistake. What he meant was he needs to complete the process. And so what did he did? He completed it by making a wife for Adam. Why? Because he knew that he didn't need to be alone, that there needs to be some companionship. And that's not only man-woman type companionship, but it's friendship. You may be married, but you need friends. And I'm not talking about multiple friends, Facebook friends. I'm talking about real-life friends who you can talk to and you can share with. Deep relationships, intimate relationships where you can be transparent. God, by His Spirit, has placed in all of His children a need for community, to be loved, to love one another. And a part of that community is friendships. If we choose to go it alone, we're depriving ourselves of a great need and a great blessing. Everyone needs to be a friend to someone. Can you be counted on? Are you trustworthy? Are you honest even when it's risky? Do you bring out the best in your friend? Do you show as much grace and mercy as you would have shown to you? Are you willing to sacrifice? And are you willing to get messy? In my notes, I did this. Those are my list that I just gave you. And what do you see in the middle of that list? You know why? Because John chapter 15, Jesus is praying for his disciples. And in that prayer, he calls them what? Friends. You know, we sing a song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Every single one of those things that we've talked about today, Jesus has done it for you. Amen. And Jesus said, if you will just believe in me, you will be my friend. And there is no better friend than Jesus. You may be here today and you may say, well, you know, preacher, I don't have any friends. Are you a believer? You got a friend. And I'll tell you something, folks, sometimes that's the best friend that you can have. And when you don't have any other friends, that's the friend that won't leave you. That's the one you can trust. That's the one that'll tell you the truth. That's the one that'll be there for you no matter what. I don't know whether you know him or not, but he wants to be your friend. How? You got to believe in him. You got to realize Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice on the cross for you and be willing to accept that. And if you will, he becomes your friend. Father, thank you for friends. And Lord, help us to understand what friends are. Help us to understand the importance of having good friends. May we desire good friends. May we be good friends for others. Father, bless this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. How many say, preacher, I'm saved. I'm a believer. Jesus is my friend. I know that. Would you slip up your hand? Amen. Amen. You can put your hand down. Thank you. Maybe you're here and you couldn't raise your hand. Not because you just didn't want to, but just because you could not. Because you don't know Jesus as your friend. If that's you, and I can pray for you, not individually, but as a congregation, Would you slip up your hand? I wouldn't come to you, wouldn't embarrass you. Anyone like that? I don't know him. I do not know Jesus as my friend. Anyone? Anyone? Maybe you're here today and you would say, preacher, I need a friend. Would you pray that God gives me a friend? That kind of a friend. Not the friends to spend time with on Friday and Saturday nights, but the kind of friend that I can trust and they can trust me. And we can build a great relationship and they can help me grow in my walk with Christ. Maybe that's you today. Maybe you need that kind of a friend. And can I tell you this? If you need that kind of a friend, someone else needs you to be that kind of a friend to them. And sometimes that requires a change in us. We all need friends. If we're going to get through life the way God wants us to, find one, develop that relationship, and God will bless you for it. Father, thank you for the hands that were raised. Lord, according to that, everyone in here is saved, and we thank you for that. And Lord, I did not ask for them to raise their hand who need a friend, but Lord, I know that in this room there are those who need a friend. Help us to be friends to one another. May your Spirit guide us and connect us to those that you would have for us to be friends with. And help us to be the kind of friend that would bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. Lord, bless this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.